Lord, we just love you. We just invite you to do what you can do. Prepare us, Lord, prepare us. Open our spirits to receive your words today. Lord, not our minds, not our emotions, but our spirits. Please let us own in our spirits how to hear from you, how to yield to you, how to let you do the intercession through us. We just give it to you to do it in us in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're not going to have you do any click-click training this week. It's going to get even worse. No. Okay, we're going to start off real easy, so don't worry about it. I think I'm a page in the wrong spot here or something. What did I do? Okay, first of all, when you're going to pray for someone, you need to have someone in mind that you're going to pray for. That's the first step. And then, before you can pray for them, you need to prepare yourself. And as prayer ministers, you should be preparing yourself like this every Sunday at least, before you come to church on Sunday, so that you're ready to pray over people. But then again, we need to do a quick and shortened version of it on the spot before we pray for someone. When you're preparing yourself at home to pray for someone, you need to do these same things. You have to be ready to pray before you can pray. So you need to practice learning, learn and practice getting yourself ready to pray. It really hit me because I thought I prayed a lot. But I thought about my son and his kidney stone, and I stopped and I just put him in God's hands, and you know, within 30 seconds I had prayed for him and I was done. I don't know what God wanted to pray for him. I didn't wait to find out. Sometimes we think we know or what we want, and we pray that and we're done. But if we have not yielded to let the Spirit pray, we don't even know what God wants to pray through us. So how effective is it? So first we have to pray ourselves. Prepare ourselves. So first of all, we want to lay everything down before God. Our opinions, our ideas, our desires, our emotions, and also whatever the other person wants. Lay that all down too. Isaiah 55:9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. His way of understanding a situation and every aspect and his purpose in that situation and in that person are way higher than our ability to understand them. Our ways, our thoughts, they are just not high enough. That's why we have to get in a position where we hear the Holy Spirit. Then we need to ask the Lord. So first of all, we need to lay down everything we think we know. Lay it all down. Total surrender. Secondly, we need to ask the Lord to reveal anything in us that could hinder us from praying. Could be sin, but it could be your own attitudes toward the person. Ask God to reveal anything in you that might hinder the freedom of the Spirit praying for this person. 1 John 1:9, if it's a sin, and it might be a sin because somebody might be asking you to pray for them, and you might look at them and you might think, well, I know the sin in your life and I wouldn't be doing what you're doing, so what do you think God's going to do here? And we start judging them and condemning them. We think we know what they need to change, what they need to stop, how they need to... We think we know, and that judging is a sin, and we need to repent of judging. We need to repent of thinking that we know all the answers and the pride. So if we need to repent, we need to confess any known sin. If it's a fear, then we need to confess that fear and reject it. Because sometimes you think you know what God wants you to say to someone, but you're afraid to do it. Or you're afraid even to click. Afraid to cry. Afraid to actually do what it takes to get in the Spirit's presence. Harvey's in there howling like a pig this morning because he was letting the emotion of the Holy Spirit express himself freely. And it really was groaning and grieving and crying that the Spirit was doing. And Harvey was allowing him to do it. But he sounded pretty silly, you know. And what if you're out here and you're praying over somebody and the Holy Spirit just starts going, oh, oh, oh. And you're going, oh man, I look so stupid. They don't know why I'm doing this. And you start questioning that and you start stifling that because you're afraid of men or you're afraid to do whatever he tells you to do. What if he tells you to lay on the floor or do something ridiculous? There's a reason he wants you to do it, and there's an effectiveness in it beyond our understanding. So we have to rebuke the spirit of fear. We have to confess our sin, because he not only forgives us according to 1 John, but he cleanses us of it. So if it's pride, if it's fear, any kind of sin, once you confess it, then you can claim the second half of the verse. Cleanse it out of me, God. Wash it out of me. The demons hate water. They don't like soap either. Wash it out of me, God. Get those spirits gone. Our weakness. We have to confess our inability to even know what we should be praying. We have a weakness. But that weakness can become your fear, whatever your weakness is. In 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me." He goes on to say, "When I am weak, then I am strong." Glory in my infirmities. There's a lot of discussion about what Paul was talking about. Some people said he had bad eyesight, and that was his infirmity. It could mean a sickness, but it also means moral frailty. Moral frailty. Sometimes we just won't pray for someone because of our weakness. God, I really haven't been doing good today. I've been negative. I've been depressed. I'm weak. I'm not worthy to pray. I'm too weak. I'm just a weak Christian. And the devil starts beating you up with your weakness. You need to confess, I have weakness. But when I'm weak, you are strong. You're not going to pray through me because of how holy I am. You're going to pray through me just because I'm going to let you. Because I'm going to let you. I'm weak and you're strong. Come be strong in me for this person. We have to lose our self-confidence to gain his confidence. Confidence goes along with pride when it's in the flesh, because we may think, oh, this person's telling me his situation and I know the answer because I know the scriptures. I have seen how God has worked this scripture. I've walked in wisdom with this scripture. I've seen the outcome. I know what he needs to do. And maybe that's not what he needs to do. Maybe that's not what God is after in his life. It worked that time, but maybe it's not the right time for it again. So if you're praying what you think... Go ahead.
Proverbs 19:23.
In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. If you pray what you think or what you want or what you hope he's going to do, if you pray... I'm sorry, I didn't say that right. If you pray what you think or what you want him to do, at the end of the prayer, you hope that he'll do it. I really want my son to get healed. And God, I'm asking you to heal him. And at the end, I'm going, I sure hope he does it. Boy, I hope he does it. But if you pray what you know he wants to do, you know he will do it. He already told you that's what he wants to do. He told you that's what he's going to do. Now you declare it with full faith behind that declaration, knowing he's going to do it, and in that you release him to do it. So we want to know. We don't want to think and guess and hope. We want to know.
I gave you the wrong reference.
14:26 was the right reference in Proverbs. So we have to discover what he wants. We have to start that by realizing that we don't already know what he wants. We just think we know what he wants based on what we want. We got to get rid of that. 2 Corinthians 13:3 says, "Since you seek a proof or an evidence of Christ speaking in me, which toward you is not weak, but is mighty in you." Let's just stop there for a minute. When somebody comes up and asks for prayer, or they call you and they ask for prayer, they would like to see evidence that God is going to mightily work in them with whatever you said. And that's what Paul is writing here. He said, "You are seeking proof that Christ is speaking in me toward you, and that is not weak, but it is mighty. It's going to work mightily in you." That's what people want to know when you pray for them, that it's mighty. It's going to happen. "For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you." So, I want that when you pray over me. I want to know that you have sought God, that you are hearing God, and that you are bringing the absolute word of God, and that you're bringing it in the boldness and faith, because that's what he told you. And now I know it's going to happen. That faith is imparted to me, and I know that God's going to do it, and I can lay my faith on it too. But if I hear somebody praying and I just sense they're praying whatever they want, I don't gain any faith in that. I just go, "I don't really think that's God. And I don't really receive it. It doesn't do anything for me. I'm glad you love me and I'm glad you said those nice words, but it didn't bear any witness. It didn't help me." So we don't just want to let people know we like them. We genuinely want God to get released into them in power. A major weakness in ministries, in ministers, in us, is pride. Ask yourself, why am I praying? What is my motive? What is my heart for this person? Is it about me, that I want to be a powerful minister? Or is it really about this person who needs prayer? A lot of times we're going to say, in honesty, "I want to be a minister of God. I do this for God, and I'm not really thinking about this person. I'm thinking about me as a minister. Am I doing it right? How am I doing? Am I honoring God? What do you think of me, God? You know, are you pleased with me? I hope I'm pleasing you." And we're really not focused on the person. It's pride. It's just pride. So we need to confess it. Don't ever quit because of pride. Because if you're going to quit because of pride, you might as well quit today. It's never going to stop attacking us. It's going to tell us to shut up. It's going to tell us to speak up. It's going to use every one of his faces and every appeal to either get us to speak in pride or to stop us from speaking. So don't quit because of pride. If you're feeling pride, praise God, you learn to recognize it and just tell it to get out. Just stop. Oops, there's pride here. I confess it. There's pride here, God. Now do the second part. Wash that pride out and go ahead and do what God wants you to do. And stand up and do it. We don't always know. We don't always know where we're at. So we need to use Psalm 139:23. "Search me, O God. Search me, O God. I think I'm ready to pray. But would you search me, God, and know my heart? Would you try me and know my thoughts?" It's our heart and our thoughts that pray over people and prevent the Holy Spirit doing it. It is our heart and it is our thoughts. It's our opinions. It's our ideas. It's what we think we know. It is our emotions, what we want to happen, that gets in his way. We have to pray all that out to him and give it to him. God, I think this. I want this. But I lay all that down. I throw it down. I want you to pray what you know this person needs. I am so careful not to just quickly pray for healing. My son is going through a lot of pain right now with kidney stones. Severe. It's so bad they had to do a pre-surgery and put a stent in to keep an opening for fluid to pass. And he's in severe pain until his surgery on the 5th. This is from July 4th to August 5th, severe pain. I would love to say, take away the pain, rescue him. But I would rather say, rescue his soul, rescue his life, call him to a deeper walk. That's what I still want to say that. I want to say all kinds of things. I've prayed Damascus Road on him so many times. Just get him like you did Paul, you know, blind him, knock him down to the ground and speak to him. Send a bright light. Get his attention. Show him how real you are. Those are all the things I used to pray for him. But God, if you healed him, I mean, if we went there and we prayed his healing and he got healed, he would see the power of God. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe he just needs to be down in pain and helpless to know the need for God. So we need to be careful. We don't just pray what they want or what we want. You see, it's our heart. And when he said, God, know my heart. Because the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Jeremiah something something.
17:9.
It is written. The heart is wicked and desperately. It's deceitful and desperately wicked. Above all things. What does that make your heart? The enemy of your prayer life. Because your emotions get in the way. And your thoughts. Try me and know my thoughts. How's he going to try our thoughts? Well, first of all, we got to be honest what we're thinking. Sometimes we find we're judgmental. Sometimes we find in our thoughts things that ought not be there. Try my thoughts. Bring it to the surface. Show me where I'm wrong, Sharon.
What did he have about like Creflo Dollar? Mm-hmm. Someone like that. He has to
prepare
for
people. Because you don't have time to sit down and do all this? And that's my point. Her question is, what if you have like thousands of people and you're all coming up and you're gonna pray for one after another, and we've been in that position where they're just lined up and you gotta go down that line and pray, and you see them do it. They just touch them, one word, two words, and it's effective and it's God. It's because they have spent time doing this at home. They have spent time alone with God, searching themselves and letting God search them. They have prepared before they came to that meeting. You hear of preachers going and getting a hotel room and spending a day or two in a room alone with God before running a big meeting. And at the end of the meeting, they go back to that room and they pray and they seek God, and they have to keep themselves in the presence of God so that when they're walking among people, they're ready. They're ready. That's why I said when you're walking among people, then sometimes it has to be quick. I've already prayed for Harvey. I got your prayer lesson today sitting in the bank car. And while he's in the bank, he'd already dumped out some problems. And I'm in the car praying in the spirit for him because I had already gone through this process this morning. And now I brought myself before God and said, what do you want to do in Harvey? And I prayed for him while he's in the bank. And then when he comes out of the bank, and he's still full of all of his matter, and he had to pour it out for a long, long time. But then we started writing things on paper. See, when you pray in the Spirit, I don't care if it's clicking, praying in tongues, whatever it is, when you let the Spirit pray in you, then you pray that you might interpret it. Paul said, I will pray in tongues, but I will also pray with understanding. There is a time to bring the understanding. So I don't know what I prayed for him at the bank, but when we started talking at the restaurant, things came out of that. So at the moment he's saying, but what about it's rising up in me, what God had planted, and I'm saying, you need to look at it this way. And we drew a picture and we laid it out. Now he got himself laid down, and then we got here in the office, and he was able to pray for someone else. But until he got rid of all those issues, he couldn't get into the Spirit. So those preachers have prepared themselves. They have done this. They try to live in this.
Yes, the prayer ministers use those same things.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
Yes, the prayer ministers use those same things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if you will live this way, laying your life down before God, not my way, not my thoughts, not my emotion, whatever you want in me, God, whatever you want in me. That's why we have prayer minister training. It's not just whoever comes to church and says, I want to pray over the people. I like the people. Let me pray over them. I read my Bible. I like God. I'm saved. No, this is a ministry, and it's a ministry that is changing right now. It is changing. I'm going to stop and share this for a minute. It is changing. He's the apostle. The apostle is the one who trains, and then he stands back, and he releases others. Okay? And he releases others because they are now solid and they can be released. But there were prophecies over him and dreams over him that what God is coming to do is brand new. He's going to do things in a different way. He's going to do things that have not been done before. And that means that we step out in faith and there's nowhere to put our foot. But the brick drops from heaven as we're stepping. By the time you hit your foot to the floor, there's a brick. We don't know what we're doing until we're doing it. I don't know what I'm teaching until the day I'm doing it. Sometimes not until I start speaking. So praying over people is a ministry that has to change because we have prayed too long from our heart and from our mind. And God sneaks in on some of it and does some stuff. But there's a whole lot of stuff not getting done because it's not what he's saying.
Right.
And if he's not saying it, he's not doing it.
Right.
He's not going to back up what you say unless he told you to say it. So that has to change. And I used to think myself an averagely intelligent person, not a genius like my husband. But where I thought I trumped that intelligence card was I had common sense. I was a stable person. A common sense person. I wasn't wacky, you know, and we've tried to build on solid ground here, foundation. But what God is having me teach is wacky. It's weird and crazy. And I got flack on Sunday off quick prayers. I got flack. I got phone calls. I got confronted. I had problems to deal with because people were so upset that we stood up here and clicked fingers and waved hands. What was that? This was Judy's. I remember that one. I got flack off that. It didn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense.
Right.
But it gets sense out of his way.
Right.
So God isn't just foolish or funny. He has a reason that he's getting us out of ourselves so that he can bring in the new things he's doing through us. And when we pray for people, he wants it to be in mighty power. And it can't be if it's what we want to pray. So he has to find a way to sneak up on us and get rid of everything of us so he can get loose. And we're going to learn to do it quickly. We're going to learn to do it. We're going to practice living this way as ministers who lay down their life and give him everything he wants all the time. And then when we come to pray for people, we can learn to instantly hear him because we will get so fine-tuned that as we're moving among the people, we'll step up to someone and we'll say, not my thoughts, not my heart. It's down, God. What do you want to say? Bam. He'll be able to speak and we'll be able to move. Because we're practicing it. We're practicing it. And we're going to learn to recognize the heart and the mind and throw it aside quickly. That's what we're going to learn to do. It's awesome, isn't it?
My voice and the voice of love, they were not listened to. If it's not one face, like though, I can let it go by me.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the other side of it. We also need to learn how to know when God is speaking to us through someone and when he's not. And praying for people is one side of it, receiving prayer is the other. Anytime anyone prays over me, I pray a filter. What's of you, God, let it through. What's not of you, keep it out. But then I also listen, and if something just doesn't bear witness, I don't receive it. Now, I know people that have just gone and threw themselves open and let everybody pray for them and receive everything that's said. You can't do that. That's foolish. So, Proverbs 3:6. You want to know. Now it's time to pray. And you want to know what to pray. Proverbs 3:6. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And it shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. In all your ways stop and ask him, and have a reverential respect and awe of fear of saying what he doesn't want you to say. God, I fear that I'm going to move in the flesh, and I don't want to do that. And depart from whatever evil is in you that's rising up. When you acknowledge God in all your ways and yield to him, it will be health to your navel. I love that verse. When God gave me the understanding of it, that's your umbilical cord. Your navel, where your lifeline to God connects. It will be health. It will hook up your umbilical cord to the Holy Spirit, where he can pour into you what he wants to say and do. And it will be marrow to your bones. I've actually had my bones become strong when I'm in the Spirit, where I limp around with my knee, and sometimes in the Spirit, I am jumping and running and dancing and no pain. Getting in the Spirit actually strengthens your physical body. Now that you're not weak, now that you're hooked up, now the life and the power can flow through you to pray for someone. We need to remember, my thoughts are not his thoughts. My ways are not his ways. God has a higher way, and I need to know it. Number four. Y'all got four out of that? Yeah, 4 points.
Well,
you with me? Shall I repeat?
Yeah.
Did I tell you what they were? Okay. Number one was choose who you're going to pray for. Number two is prepare yourself. Under number two, we had some points. Lay down everything before God. Ask him to reveal anything that's hindering you. Confess your sin. Recognize your weakness, your inability. Those are the four things of getting yourself ready. Now we're to point three. So point one was, who are you going to pray for? Point two was, prepare yourself. Point three is, pray. Now it's time to pray. And we don't know what to do, so we've acknowledged him. Okay, so point four is invite him. Invite the Holy Spirit to pray through you. God, I've laid everything down. Any way you want, anything you want, anyone you want. Give him his way. Total yielded. Romans 8:27. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He makes intercession according to the will of God. Now, we don't know what he's doing. We don't know what he wants to do. But when we give him freedom, he may want to cry. He may want to dance. He may want to run. He may want to slap somebody. I'm, you know, hopefully not, but that has happened, and you better be sure it's him when you do it, because you just might get a lawsuit otherwise. Abuse! But he does do weird things. So when I came to that point this morning, and I said, okay, now what is my plan for today's training? He said, number one, assign partners. I would like to assign partners that might have... Let me hold on that part. I'm not going to assign them yet. I'm going to wait for that. Then we're going to take time so that each of you can lay yourself before God. Repent of sin. Be searched of anything in your way. And this needs to be directly connected to who you're going to pray for or what you're going to pray for. So you want to find out if you have any attitudes toward that prayer subject. Make sure your heart and your mind are clear toward that person or thing you're going to pray for. I'm going to go back over the next part when it's time. Then we're going to give God our right hand. Well, this is when we're deciding what we're going to pray for, to put in our hand the subject of our prayer, and our left hand to prepare us to pray for them. When we feel like those two things have come together, we're ready to pray. This is also going to help us prepare so that we can pray for Sunday service, because we're here on Saturday, and we need to be praying into Sunday. Sunday needs to be supported with our prayers. In here. And the reason I held off on what I thought with partners was, well, you two have a coffee bar. You could pray together over the coffee bar. You know, I'm thinking, who could we group that has a common love for something? But I think what we're going to pray for today is Burning Bush. I think we're going to pray for this ministry. We're going to pray for this ministry. And this ministry could mean people, because people are the church. So I still don't know specifically. Are you going to pray for the children? You're going to pray for me? You're going to pray for the music? You're going to pray for financial needs? Are you going to pray in general? I don't know. You're going to pray for worship? You're going to, you know, I don't know who you're going to pray for or what aspect of the ministry you're going to pray for. But it's going to be about this ministry and the people of and the functions of this ministry. That's our subject. So you all have that in common. So when you partner with somebody, first you can separate, and I'll tell you who your partner is, and when you're ready, you can go to your partner, because I don't know who's going to pray first and who's going to pray second, and I don't know if the people are in this room. So we may not even know what we prayed today. I prayed for someone specific this morning. I knew who it was, journaled out about 4 pages to take to that person and deliver God's word. Then I prayed for my son, all in the spirit. And when I'm done, I said, could I interpret that? And God said, no. Well, what do I say to him? And he said, that's the point. You don't need to say anything to him. I'm dealing with it. Don't talk to him. Sometimes he doesn't give you a word because he doesn't want you to say anything. So we don't know what he's going to do with it, okay? Last week we prayed with actions. This week, actions may come into it, but we're going to start with our voice. When it's time to pray, we're going to start with our voice. We are going to pray the ho ho sha sha prayers today. The ho ho sha sha prayers. Now, it may not stay at ho ho sha sha, but it's going to start there, which means when it's time for you to pray, the only thing you can say while you're figuring out what to pray is ho, 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 ho! Ho, 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 sha, sha, sha. I'm giving you 2 words in case you don't speak in tongues. Now you have 2 words in tongues you can use today. If it goes into more words, if it goes into action, because the Spirit takes it there, that's fine. But no English, none of your thoughts and none of your heart. He will be putting His heart and His thought in it. And if you just sit there going, ho, 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 then that's what He's doing through you. Somebody else might be running around the room shouting ho-hos. That's what He's doing in them. So if your ho-hos don't sound like His ho-hos, it's okay. He's a multifaceted God with many ho-hos and sha-shas. I had to tell you, I thought it was pretty person of common sense, but none of it makes sense to me. And then when He's through moving, then we're going to be able to sit down and journal what He has said to you. The reason I'm assigning you partners, and you may not need a partner, you may do intercession and go journal it. But if you do need a partner because He's sending you to someone here, then get your partner and say, I've got a word for someone. Come and partner me so they can stand with you and partner you. Partners, you're to be praying for the minister to bring a clear word from God and protecting them from any attacks. At the same time, praying for the subject, I'll call them a victim, no, a subject, same time praying for them to receive it, for it to be effective, and for them to, anything you see on them, I see stubbornness, I come against that stubbornness. And you're praying kind of quietly back here for both of them. That's how you partner. You're not just there to catch them when they fall. One quick illustration. Let's show how to catch when somebody falls. Somebody going to volunteer to fall? Who will fall and who will catch? Who wants to fall? Glenn gets to fall, Harvey gets to catch. Show them where to put hands.
Well, when I go to pray for somebody, when I walk up, I touch them just to let them know that somebody's back here, but then stay off of them. That's a rule.
Until they begin to totter.
Right. When they start to totter, I touch them again to let them know.
So they know they're safe.
Okay. Now, go ahead. Start falling. Like, I'll catch them like this. And then, okay. And then sit them down.
Okay. So, for the tape, First he touched them in the back. They start to fall. He held their elbows. Then he slid his arms under their armpits, kept his arms out straight as he backed up and let them fall against him till they went down to the floor.
Right.
There's no grabbing, no hugging, anything. I've been in a church where I've seen men, catchers, where they grab the woman around the, and suddenly she's out of the spirit going, you know, why are you touching me like that? It just kills the whole thing. So, you need to see it again? Anybody want to try it? Anybody want to try to catch Glenn? He can fall several times, you know. Come on, it's your opportunity. Make Glenn fall down.
That's especially if it's a bigger person, start calling tournament.
We do prefer, we prefer that men do the catching.
I catch them against my chest like it's a bigger person. I always have a hand, like a leg behind me. But I put my hands out, you know, holding them, letting them down. When they start being all stiff like this, you just keep doing it until they get to where they're not stiff, and you sit them down, and then just
don't bounce them.
Yeah, catch the head and make it soft. I do not catch people. Know your own body. I have bad knees. If I were catching them and my back and my knees buckle, I'm going to throw them in the floor. I do not catch people. I don't have the physical ability.
But
usually girls don't do the catching,
right,
even if it's a woman. That's why it's important you guys know how to do that right, you know, because you're stronger. But if you have a physical, really bad back, really bad knees, then you probably shouldn't be there, because if your body gives on you, you're going to dump them.
Can I just say this?
Yeah.
If you're seeing somebody being prayed for, like Sue, let's say, is praying for somebody, men, then come up, you know, somebody get behind them. I mean, be aware of what's going on during prayer ministry, okay? Even if you're somebody that's praying, people need to be covered. We want to help people be careful. And if it's somebody that's really big, okay, and you see a little guy standing behind them, go over with them, and maybe the two of you are going to do it. But be there to help. If you see somebody that's bigger or taller, you know, than the person, or the person looks like they're afraid, or the catcher, I'm saying, they're not certain. You know what I'm saying? Come over to help them, okay?
What about people that fall forward?
They're tricky, aren't they?
So if they're a woman, you grab by the hair. No,
I've always fallen that way. Nobody's ever catched me. I got to fall on my kneecaps. That hurts.
Well, come on. Let's try that. Let's try it forward and see what you do with it.
Yeah.
Come on, go ahead and fall forward.
Come on.
But he's heavier than that.
No, come on.
People doesn't want to fall.
I want to see this. I want to see what you're talking about.
I figured his nose.
Remember when that couple was here, the missionaries, and I kept saying, Harvey, quit
missionaries?
Yeah.
Harvey, quit pushing me.
Yeah, and they were praying, and I was standing there, and you were behind me. I said, Harvey, quit pushing me. He said, I'm not pushing him.
I don't even, who was the missionary?
They were standing right there where that speaker was, praying for people.
All right, now you don't know they're going to fall forward, so you got to be
like
behind them.
Years ago, so.
Go behind him.
Oh, you're talking about Larry and Corinne Silverman?
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Exactly. So, okay, so they're standing right in front of me, praying like this, right?
Okay.
And I'm feeling like you're pushing me like this. Uh-huh. I started going like this.
Uh-huh.
And the, and
I can only do one of two things. I can either trust that you're going to do something, or I can fall to my knees.
And the guy in front of you didn't do anything.
Well, no, he wasn't expecting me to fall toward him.
Ah. Well, still, if you're, you know, a tree's falling on you, you do put your hands out. I can't believe he didn't do anything.
So if you, okay, now me.
Steve Bazzola got me down, and I was going, I was walking, I just fell right forward. Man, that hurt.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. But nobody was there.
Okay, but if he's starting to fall forward, usually there'll be some warning. I mean, start to teeter forward a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Do you get warning? Do you teeter before you actually go?
I can feel the pressure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can feel the pressure.
Okay, so you're feeling pressure.
You need to be aware.
You should be feeling. Maybe you need to have a finger on him. Because when he actually starts to move forward, see, I can feel that.
Right.
He
right.
grabbed his shirt.
Yeah.
I can feel that.
Well, now
but
when I just
usually when you
and
feel
that's what
that,
I started mm-hmm. to say is because when I first came into
like
this,
mm-hmm.
when I first
what are you gonna do if he goes forward? You won't stop.
He won't go forward.
Yeah. Well, he wants God wants him to.
Oh.
So maybe you need to come around toward the front.
No.
What?
I don't know, but here's what I started to say. When I came into this, now it was different for me, maybe, but I'm just telling you. When I came into this 10 years ago or whatever, when God brought us into it, 97, 95, whatever it was, 95, people would go to pray for me, and I kept feeling somebody was pushing me down from the back. I never went backward. I always went frontward. But I never fell like a ton of bricks, but it's because I fought it.
Right. Well, some people just crumple, too.
And so I,
exactly. One time, Dana told me, Dana was behind me one time. She said, you need to get down on your knees.
Yeah.
I felt that pressure.
And that's what I'm saying is, Sue said before, she made this really deep theological statement. She said, you don't have to fall, you can lay down. You know? So, if you're feeling like...
But he wants to keep getting the prayer.
Okay. If you're feeling like... I know, but somebody can keep praying for you even if you're on the floor. So if you're feeling like that for your own safety, just take time and put another foot out front.
You grab the minister in front of you and make a pillow out of him.
But if, let's say you're walking.
Put the target to you.
Let's say you're walking and Steve Silver or somebody, does this and you go to fall, you just gotta be aware that you gotta put. I mean, what are we supposed to do?
Well, I couldn't do it.
Well, what were we supposed to do?
There's some things we just can't control,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
But if you do see that a person has the tendency to go forward, you might want to say to them, why don't you get down on your knees? Mm-hmm. So that you don't get hurt if you fall. And a lot of them will go, I'm not gonna fall, but they've been warned, so.
I'm just thinking, what if a woman falls toward, the person grabbing them?
I'm pretty well.
I'm just going, sorry.
Well, I'm pretty well thinking if somebody falls towards you, you probably even could grab their elbows like this and help them, kind of cushion them as they go down. You got to do something. Got to try.
And that's, I have had people that they're falling toward you, and I'll just catch them or put an arm here or just kind of hold them and say, would you like to just lay down? And by that time, they're like weak, and they normally cooperate. They quit fighting,
Yeah.
Well, I know there are times when the person begins to fall, and they're just so in the spirit, they don't even think about what's going on. They just clobber
right down.
They can't stop.
Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. As a catcher, we need to try to be aware, and if they start keeping forward, then what we need to do is, that's why I keep touching them in the back, because I keep them, I'm like watching, but I'm trying to pray. But if they start to fall, then I'm going to come over here to catch them, and I normally grab their arm, is what I normally do, and the shoulder, like I'll put my hand on their shoulder to keep them from going, and then I grab them and I'll say, hey, would you like to just, and by that time they're always like sack of potatoes, you know what I'm saying?
Right.